This is Tim Kilcoin, WQPH Radio 89.3 FM, and it is my honor and privilege to be here to offer a few questions to His Excellency, Bishop Athanasius Schneider. Your Excellency.
I'm Auxiliary Bishop of Astana, the capital of Kazakhstan.
Very good. And we're here at Holy Ghost Parish down in Tiverton, Rhode Island. Tell us a little bit about your trip here, Your Excellency.
I am very impressed about this beautiful parish community, which I saw today, and commitment to the faith, especially of the parish priest, Father Finelli. So I could observe this deep faith of the faithful, of the children, of the young people. Mm. Especially, I was moved by the Adoration Chapel.
Beautiful.
And I am convinced that the Adoration is the most great power, spiritual power in the Church.
Very much.
And so where there is Adoration, there is the Church living. And there are flowing blessings to our world. And therefore, I am very grateful to have met today this very living parish here in Tiverton.
Now, your talk tonight was on the immutability of the Church, its unchanging nature, and the crisis in the world, in the Church. Can you give us some fine points relative to your talk tonight?
Yes, I mentioned several statements of the Magisterium, even though they were made more than 100 years ago or 70 years ago, and then from Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen,
yes,
which he made also 50 or 60 years ago. And so these statements were, to my understanding, in some way prophetical, because they already analyzed the very core of the crisis in which we are living today. It means that the confusion intrudes, the substitution of God by man, to substitute God.
Yes.
Man puts himself in the center.
Yes.
And then the relativism, so that good is called evil, and evil is called good today.
Now, this secular humanism that you're referring to, do you see it on a grander worldwide scale above and beyond anything we've seen before? Or is it more local to particular nations?
No, it's to my extent on a worldwide scale.
It is.
The general collapse,
yes,
of truth and morality, of the principles, of the unchangeable principles, of the truth, of reason.
Mm.
Now it is almost on a global level. And inside the Church, it's mostly spread in the so-called Western world.
Oh.
The relativism,
yes,
in doctrine, in morality,
yes,
in liturgy.
Yes.
And so, therefore, I quoted these prophetical voices,
yes, I mean,
of the past magisterium, to show that they are very up-to-date, these voices. They are current.
Yes.
And so we have to strive to the biggest challenge, to my extent, to my understanding today,
yes,
is the danger that we abandon truth.
Yes.
And by abandoning truth, we abandon Christ.
Yes.
When we are, because Christ said, I am the truth.
Right.
The way.
Exactly.
And the life.
Exactly.
When we have no more truth, we have no more way.
It's anarchy.
Where to go. And when we have no way where to go, we have no life.
Now,
no eternal life.
And in light of what you're saying, and in light of the fact that we as a Catholic people with a magisterium, we are, you know, ultimately, we are so privileged and blessed to have a teaching authority in the Church. So, and going back to Archbishop Sheen, I remember him making comments to the division that he prophetically saw in the Church amongst God's servants. So in persona Christi are all priests. Is this crisis in the sacristy? Is this not much different than the scriptures relative to who Jesus's problem people were, Caiaphas and the intellectuals of his day?
Yes. I mean, the crisis of the priesthood and of the leadership in the church
Yes.
comes, to my understanding, to their own crisis of their identity.
Exactly.
So when we have to foster, to strengthen the identity of the priesthood, of the episcopate, that they are in the first place.
They're the frontliners.
They are, as you told, an alter Christus, another Christ.
Yes.
So they have not to speak and to act in their own authority or their own opinions.
Right.
Because they are really another Christ. So they have to strive to imitate
Right.
Christ, the high priest, whom they represent.
And we, being a product of Jesuit education myself in the 1970s and 80s, needless to say, there was such an overwhelming emphasis on God's mercy. But can you tell us, there is no contradiction in saying that truth is mercy, and God is mercy, God is truth, God is love. So if you leave any one of those out of the equation, you're not being another Christ.
Exactly. God gave us his commands and his truths as a sign of mercy towards us.
Right.
So that we may know him.
Right.
And by knowing him.
Yes.
Obeying him.
Right.
By obeying him, loving him.
Exactly.
By loving him, serving him. And so achieving... By this way, achieving the eternal happiness in God.
Right.
So, the commandments are only an expression of the mercy. And not the mercy does not mean that God contradicts himself.
Right.
It would be a blasphemy. God is the eternal wisdom. And he gave us the commandments and the truths in order to arrive to the eternal happiness, to the eternal life.
Mm.
There is no other way to go to heaven as the fulfillment of the commandments of God. And to fulfill the commandments of God, the church, the priests and the bishops and the pope has to teach the people and to show clearly the way. Otherwise, they are responsible that so many people go astray.
Right.
And can be lost eternally. To teach the ignorance is, in a high degree, a work of mercy.
Yes.
Which has ever been in the Holy Scripture taught, in the church history, in the saints taught us.
Yes. So, in fact, the homily really needs to be a place of adult education as well as youth ministry. That real, concrete, everyday issues actually are the domain of the ultimate teacher of that parish, which is the priest and the pastor and his priests, etc. So they shouldn't be so squeamish about wanting to address these issues, correct? It's not, in other words, what I was the recipient of was an overwhelming social justice kind of orientation, as if political, economic systems were all that mattered. But you're saying something different here relative to the Ten Commandments.
Our Lord came to teach us the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. He came not to teach us the kingdom of earth,
yes,
which is social justice and so on. This is only a secondary aspect. This is in first the task of the civil authorities.
Yeah.
But Jesus said to us in the gospel, I did not come to make justice between you.
Exactly. And he also said he came with a sword, you know, that there's going to be division within families exactly. amongst those who follow him.
Yes.
So it's not always going to be peaceful.
Yes. And therefore, he says, that he came to bring fire and decision.
Yes.
And he spoke, who is not with me is against me.
Exactly. So, and in fact, God forbid that we use militant analogies, but in fact, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare in the realm of ministry.
Exactly. But Christ himself used military symbols. He himself, and he is our God.
Exactly.
And even all the scripture is filled with military symbols. The host of the angels, these are the army.
Yes,
in
yes.
In biblical expressions.
Yes.
Dominus Deus Sabaoth in the Sanctus. Holy, holy, holy. The yeah. Lord of the hosts.
Yes.
Of the army of God.
Exactly. And the legions.
The legions.
Yes.
And so God gave us these because we are living. And Christ said, I came to throw out the prince of this world.
Yes.
To win him.
Mm.
And Christ is the conqueror, the winner of sin, of devil.
Right.
And so we have to also to lead our good battle with the grace of God, with all the means of the church, of the graces, of the sacraments, to lead this good battle.
You know, Your Excellency, I'm thinking again of my education of higher learning, where the lives of the saints and conversation about the evil one was just virtually, thoroughly absent. Talk to us about the importance of reading up on the lives of the saints and the spiritual regimen that we can learn from them in putting on armor against the devil.
Yes, the saints are a very concrete and very moving example how to live the true gospel. And they incarnate the values of the gospel. And when you read the saints from all the 2,000 years of church history, there is really a common characteristic of this. Their very expressed sense of the supernatural.
Yes.
Of the spiritual.
Yes.
And even their commitment to avoid sin.
Yes.
Even to the extent to die rather than to sin.
And their participation in suffering for Christ.
Exactly. And also their courage to confess the faith in Christ in front of the hostile world.
Yes.
And so these are the common characteristics of all saints.
Exactly.
Of course, especially the commandment of love.
Yes.
Of love of God.
Yes.
But the love of God is, the real love of God is when you observe his commandments, as Jesus told.
Yes.
And so their continuous desire to fulfill the commandments of God, to avoid sin.
Yes.
And also to lead other people to avoid sin. And one common other characteristic of the saints is their deep desire and zeal to save souls.
Yes, exactly.
The immortal souls for the eternity. And even they were ready to sacrifice their own lives in order to save the soul for the eternity.
And they really tell us about almost a stepladder in the divine life, that there are elevations and gradations that one can move up depending one's subservience to our Lord.
St. Augustine told, when a Christian is not moving forward, he is going back.
Exactly.
He cannot stand in one place. And so this is the essence, some way, of the Christian life, to move forward in love of God, in faith.
And therefore, I'm thinking of the movement away from confession.
Let's pause right here, Your Excellency, and when we come back, talk to us a little bit more about the climate that we're in, where there's a real denial of sin itself. WQPH Radio, 89.3 FM. We'll be right back.
In typical religious ed circles in this country over the last 30 years, there's been a notion that, you know, all of our venial sins can be wiped away through acts of charity and communion itself, and so nobody goes to confession on a Saturday. Can you tell us, relative to exactly what you're saying about the lives of the saints, that going to confession anyway is so critical to those building blocks of grace that one wants to, forge?
The fundamental attitude of a true believer, of a true Christian, is the attitude which Christ showed us in the Gospel of the sinner in the temple who was standing behind.
Yes.
And the Pharisee was standing in front,
yeah.
and saying, I am not a sinner, I have not the necessity to confess, he told God.
Yeah.
And behind was standing a sinner and striking his breast,
yeah.
and say, Oh God, oh Lord, have mercy on me, sinner. And Christ presented this attitude as a model and as an example.
Exactly.
And so we have to rediscover the evangelical, the gospel model of this poor sinner. We are all poor sinners. And all the saints, when you read their lives, even the very great saints, the common attitude was of them that they had a very deep a conscience to be sinners.
Mm.
Because the closer we come to God, the infinite sanctity, the infinite holiness, we discover that we are very far away.
Yes.
To achieve this ideal. And therefore we feel our wickedness.
I'm thinking of new book by Peter Kreft from Boston College, How to Be Holy. And, you know, he's hitting on exactly what you're referring to. The wisdom of the saints is usually far superior to that of the theologians, he
yes.
says.
And so, and also the basic attitude, it is the same, with other words, the humility.
That's it.
To be humble, to be little in the eyes of God. And only the humble ones receive graces,
yes.
and the humble ones God exalts. And so when we go to confession, we are performing the ideal of the gospel of the example of Jesus.
Yes.
And those who do not confess, we have to quote them the words of the Holy Scripture. Who says, yeah, I am without sin, is a liar.
Exactly.
And so they are liars, or they are already saints that we can then canonize.
Yes, yes. I'm thinking of Joe and Josephine Catholic. You know, the average Catholic couple, they don't have three letters after their name, but they're ever so faithful. They don't put on airs, and they do go to confession. And then I'm also thinking of the lowly ones that our Blessed Mother appeared to in so many of the Marian apparitions. You know, she's not appearing to the intellectuals.
Exactly. And Christ, one of the central phrases of the Gospel, to my opinion, are following. The truth will set you free.
Exactly.
And another, I praise you, Father, that you revealed this to the lowly, to the little one,
yes.
and not to the wise of this world.
I hate to say what I've said to a few along the way, but I say that it wasn't so much Pontius Pilate that condemned and crucified our Lord. And it wasn't really the Jews. It was the religious educators. It was Caiaphas, and
yes.
the gang
yes.
of intellectual elitist religious who could not see truth when truth was right in front of them.
I am reminding now an episode of the famous Russian writer Dostoevsky. Mm. In his novel The Brother Karamazov, and there is a passage about the great inquisitor.
Okay.
He was a cardinal.
Yes.
And then came Christ.
Mm.
And he said to him, "Why did you came to make us trouble?" The cardinal told to Christ.
Yeah.
You are hindering us.
Yes.
And so we have lived without you in peace.
You know, I'm thinking of one of the blockades to adult education at the parish level as you're speaking right now. I'm thinking of a woman in a Franciscan institute years ago who made the comment that we spend all our time teaching the kids and blessing the adults, when in fact our Lord spent most of his time teaching the adults and blessing the children.
Yes. Of course, we have to do the religious instruction straight away from the
cradle to grave.
From the cradle.
Yes.
And so to transmit the Catholic teaching faithfully to all ages.
To all ages.
Of course. But even today, today is a great deal of religious ignorance, even among the adult people.
Yes.
And so we have to make a very conscious and assiduous adult catechism.
You have to believe that St. Paul would be quick to grab his cell phone and his laptop. How about getting on some of these cable TV shows to set the record straight relative to what it is that our church truly does still teach? On one particular cable show that was clearly going away, the number one watched show nightly, the commentator would make the statement that whenever there was a moral crisis, you know, he could find an evangelical minister and a rabbi, but not so in trying to find a shepherd from our church. What's going on there?
They have fear to appear in public. I mean, they have not a fear to appear in public, but to appear in public and to speak faithfully and truly the whole truth of Christ.
Exactly.
And so they fear in some way the spirit of this world. And they try in some way to adapt themselves to the fashion, that they can be applauded and accepted by the majority, but this is wrong. So, I mean, today the virtue of the bishops today is courage, has to be courage.
Very good.
And not to have fear, and to be true followers and successors of the apostles.
And it's ever so appropriate of what we're doing right now for a Catholic radio station, coming on the heels of Mother Angelica the Great. This particular radio station is using EWTN programming by and large, and isn't it a wonderful new venue for the new evangelization? Your Excellency, could you give the vast audience a wonderful blessing?
Yes, I would like to encourage you, dear brothers and sisters, to keep the greatest treasure which God gave to you in the moment of the baptism, the true, integral Catholic faith. Please keep this, please nurture this, and hand this over to the next generation.
A beautiful blessing from a most holy man, Bishop Athanasius Schneider. Some of these bishops that come from foreign countries truly know persecution and poverty like nothing we've seen. I don't think it's any coincidence that they are ever so faithful to the authentic Catholic faith. We can learn much from these shepherds. And I pray that as we celebrate Little Christmas
and this Feast of Epiphany, we will remember the star that these three kings followed. There was only one number one. God bless. WQPH Radio 89.3 FM, TalkCatholic.com.